Hello there, Thomas. You all right?
Hello there, Matthew. Yeah, I've read some really good news on the internet.
Really?
Apparently, video games are good for you.
Oh, that's good to know. Seems we run a podcast on video games, we play quite a lot of them.
Yeah, it's also good to know, seeing that I'm addicted.
You might as well face it, you're addicted to games.
Tom and Matt attack.
Sorry, I just wanted to squeeze a bit of sing-song in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's this you've been reading?
Well, it's an article. I haven't got the computer on now, so... yeah, basically, you know, there's been several of these surveys done about video games. And
video games make you a world leader, etc. I've seen a few of these things that are video games are good for you.
More often than not, it's negative press, isn't it, video games? You know, they can be associated... People like to associate them with violent tendencies.
Yes.
Or getting obese, sitting there all day and playing video games and getting fat and lazy. But a recent study has been done. By a scientist.
Okay. Interesting. It's not like a fake scientist, is it? It's not like he's got a scientific degree in drama.
No. I'll tell you exactly who it is in one short second. Well, I have to look it up on the internet.
On the internet? What's that? I've not heard of this concept of the internet.
Yes, it's on a website called iflscience.com.
Right.
My girlfriend linked me this earlier. Playing video games is good for your brain. Here's how. The article is called. And it's written by a gentleman called Dr. Mark Griffiths,
yes.
And basically...
Solid Welsh name.
He talks about sort of different types of games, you know, such as the social benefits of playing online role-playing games.
Yes.
Of course, we all know that games can be put to educational and therapeutic uses as well.
They can indeed.
And also, it does talk about even violent games like third-person 3D shoot-em-ups, which are, as he says here, the beloved doomsayers in the media. But they demonstrate... the fast... shows improved performance in perception, attention, and cognition.
Yes, apparently, why I have such patience, you often say to me when I'm playing video games, is, oh my god, you have so much patience, I would have given up by now, is apparently a trait of a avid gamer.
And he mentions it also in this article about patience.
I have read two very similar books which kind of tread similar territory, such as Extra Lives by Tom Bissell and Reality is Broken by Jane McGonigal. The subtitle to that one is Why Games Make Us Better and How They Can Change the World. Mm. Rather optimistic title, but yeah, it's some truth to it, I think.
In this experiment, he takes people who are used to playing games, 10 to 14 people in each study, and he sees, obviously, that these people have good skills, you know, reaction time and such like that.
Yes.
He also takes people who haven't played games before, gives them 50 hours practice.
Okay.
And he does the same test on them to test various perception, attention, cognition, as we talked about. And they improve.
Okay.
After playing 50 hours of video games.
So that's interesting. I read an article recently as well, and it was saying that most people in Fortune 500 companies, you know, these 500 best and richest companies in the world, people at senior management and CEO position often take a 15-minute break in the middle of their day to play a casual game, to play a bit of Tetris or play a bit of Breakout or something. Apparently, it mentally stimulates you a lot.
Well, I find it's very helpful. I play Peggle when I go for a poo.
Yeah? You poop with Peggle?
And that's great. And it keeps me refreshed. I know Peggle's not the most taxing video
game. That's the thing. That's the point. It's just a kind of a break in the play. My friend Jim always used to play a bit of Angry Birds when he used to go to the lavatory.
Games like that.
I used to refresh him. To be honest, I occasionally, if I'm playing a particularly good Game Boy game, I may play a bit of that.
Yeah.
In the bathroom as a bit of a cleansing break, or I may go and have 5 minutes after lunch and just kind of play a bit of Tetris or something like that.
Tetris is all right for that, I guess. But some Game Boy games, you've got the problem of saving. And
yeah, well...
You want it in arcade, more of an arcade game, like that really cool racing game. What was that called?
That was Pro RCAM. No, that isn't Pro RCAM. No, it's Power Racer.
Power Racer.
By Temco, the best Game Boy racing game.
An interesting point in this article as well. It says they can be used therapeutically. For instance, they can form...
Therapeutically, in your case.
They can be used as a form of physiotherapy as well as in a more innovative context. An example of which would be some studies have shown that while children playing video games following chemotherapy need fewer painkillers.
Interesting, I guess it's a placebo effect then. Well, it kind of says in McGonagall's book that the idea of playing games is essentially as old as time. I have a book over here because I'm quite learned on this subject.
As Matt reaches for the bookcase full of video game books.
Called Homo Ludens, which is a book by a guy called Johann Huizinga, I think, A Study of the Play Element in Culture. Which is a book, I believe, published quite some years ago. Yeah, originally printed in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially it's a psychological look at video games. And this was long before video games. This is just games in general. This is literally about boys and girls playing the sticks in the street and why we do it. And these facts here are kind of evident in McGonagall's book. And essentially it's just because... we learn through play. We are, that is how we are very fast at adapting and learning. If something is a game, we can pick it up quite quick. And naturally, as a species, we tend to find pleasure in learning through play. And also the fact that we are often, sometimes, and I know a lot of gamers are, unfortunately, we are very fortunate to have jobs where we are quite taxed mentally in creative ways. But I know a lot of people, certainly when I was working in a supermarket, when you were working in game, I can imagine the same thing. It's escapism. It's making your brain attend a task that is challenging and rewarding where perhaps your day job isn't. And that's why I think so many people are now turning to video games, because they are in professions that they don't like. I'm in a profession I like and I still play video games. You
well,
know,
it's
like
the best of both worlds.
It's kind of chasing the dragon of that unattainable goal of beating something, you know. It's that placebo effect you get from doing a job and doing it right that you get from video games that I don't think a lot of other pastimes give you, you know. Like, you're in passive media like films and books, you're kind of getting the same thing. But actually I read an interesting article a couple of weeks ago on this, and it was essentially comparing that video games are more like books than like films.
Okay.
Because video games and books are in passive media, like you have to be present in them. Like if you put a book down, the story doesn't continue like it does in a film or a TV series. Like, yeah, you can stop it and rewatch it, but like theoretically speaking, if you were to leave a game, nothing would happen. If you were to leave a book, nothing would happen because it isn't visual media. And he was saying that maybe we should be focusing more on the storytelling aspects like a book. So when you put it down, like there's chapter points, and a lot of games do.
Yeah, for example,
there are breaks in it.
Resi 4, or more recently, Evil Within. I really like the chapter thing.
Dynamic thing
in those games. I mean, they're not the only games which enforce this, but they have nice time, nice amount of time.
They do, each chapter.
It's the same with the Mario games in recent years, like New Super Mario Brothers Wii U, for instance.
Yes.
You can spend half an hour between castles, basically. You know,
could do that back to the old days, man, like Super Mario 3. I used to do that on the Super Nintendo and All-Stars when you could save. I don't know, could you save on the NES version? It's been so long since I've played it on that.
No, you can't. But this just feels like the right amount of gameplay in between save points. It's the same with something like... I've been playing Mario Galaxy still. I started last week. And that's got also a good play amount of playtime between saving. You know, you get a star. Every time you win a star, you get a save. You know, and you can say, oh, I just want to get a couple of stars today. And then finish. You know, I only got one star the other day.
Yes.
I thought that was enough time I wanted to spend on that game. I can't say the same about a game I picked up this weekend, though, which I haven't been able to put down.
Really?
And that game is Toy Box Turbos on the PlayStation 3.
Never seen you talking about patience in video games. You are a gamer who will play something. Even if you're really enjoying a game, you will play for about an hour and then you'll put it down and you'll go do something else.
Like Mario, for instance.
Yeah, I'm completely the opposite. I will sit there and binge on games. I'll play them for a long time because when I play games, I play games. Like, I do so much stuff in between playing games that when I sit down, I really want to get some
You really
game time
do go
out.
For it.
Yeah, and I've never seen you sit for such an extended period of time playing one game as I did today.
It's testament to the quality and playability of this particular game, which is, in all but name, a sequel to Micro Machines.
Get out of town!
At last! And this one kind of just snuck out. I only know about it because I saw an article on Kotaku, actually, mentioning the game and how it was made by Codemasters. Codemasters Racing, to be precise, is the name of the studio which developed this.
Are there any of the original guys who designed Micro Machines
the,
on it? Or is it just
on the background of the game, but it just kind of popped up from nowhere. It's available on PlayStation 3 at the moment. It will be available on Xbox soon and PC. I think maybe it's out on Steam now.
Okay, that's cool.
But I hardly recommend anyone who's even had a passing love affair with Micro Machines.
With Matt?
With Micro Machines.
Freudian slip.
Or Matt.
Oh, God, this is awkward.
So they should check this out because it seriously is very good. And it also expands on Micro Machines. If anyone who's ever played the game Mashed,
I have
not.
Know
what I'm talking about. Mashed is a game that was released on, I think, PS2 and Xbox back in the day. And it was like Micro Machines, like the later Micro Machine games where you had the 3D perspective. You know, slightly angled down 3D, like I think it's Micro Machines V3, V4.
The PlayStation
game. But this also
introduced
weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they reuse some of these same weapons featured in Mashed in Toy Box Turbos, which is a machine gun. There's also new weapons like the hammer, which is great.
Which look particularly fun.
And they've introduced even more aspects of Mario Kart, actually, in this game as well, such as slipstreaming.
Yeah.
And the how you pick up weapons is the usual kind of presence.
Around the level,
you pick them up. The game also features coins, which you collect as you race, like Mario Kart.
Then can spend on things.
You can
things.
Spend these on new cars. The game's split up into, I think, seven cups. Seven cups for each vehicle type.
Yeah.
You've got service vehicles. You've got construction vehicles. What else have you got? You've got sports vehicles and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So there's a great range of different cars in this.
Yeah.
I can't sing its praises highly enough. The difficulty level increases steadily.
Is it also on Vita or is it only PS3?
I haven't seen it for Vita.
Oh, man, that's a perfect game for Vita. I like playing Micro Machines
it's
on the
like,
Game Boy.
It's like, what's that one on Vita? It's MotorStorm RC.
Yes.
That's quite a good game to play on Vita. But it's I think it's $11.99.
Yeah.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the game so far. I've done five of the seven cups.
Yes, you've just unlocked the sixth.
The multiplayer, I can testify, is very good. Also.
You played it today, yeah?
And that has to, that allows for up to four players.
But again, this is classic Micro Machines style, right?
Drive to the edge of the screen, you win a point. The other player loses a point, and so on and forth. But the game, the main single-player game, can be played in different ways. There's a straightforward race mode where it kind of ignores the race off-screen thing.
Yeah.
And you just have a race that keeps on going. There's also modes such as I think it's called Escape. I can't quite remember.
Is that where there's something following
you've got a tidal
you, like,
flow
yeah.
of water. It's always water.
Okay.
It would be nice if they maybe mixed it up and had some like lava or something like
that. Blood.
There is a great range of different tracks. One takes place in a science
It's quite odd
lab.
That they didn't mix that up, now you really think about it.
It's just water, but you have to make sure that it doesn't catch up with you.
Yes.
There's also overtake mode, where you have to overtake as many other vehicles as you can, and then you get a medal corresponding to your performance.
Yes. There was a time trial from what I saw, right?
A
where you're racing against the clock.
Collecting clocks
to
as you
beef
go
up
across
your time.
To keep up your time.
There was also boss battles.
And boss battles at the end of each cup.
Yes. Which were the classic multiplayer style win a point.
Yeah, elimination, I think it's called. I don't think anything else to say about the game. The music isn't particularly noteworthy, which is a shame because Micro Machines always had good music.
It did.
You can play the game in a top-down mode as well, like old-style Micro Machines, but I didn't really feel that that worked as well. For some reason, it didn't feel right. Okay. The game had been developed, I guess, to be played in this new kind of isometric sort of
perspective.
And you don't get the old characters.
Yeah, well,
like, I guess they're tied to the license.
Yeah, I assume so.
But it'd be nice to see them create some new characters to play as, because a lot of the personality of Micro Machines came from, you know, Dwayne and Walter and Spider. And I know they changed their names up in later versions. But yeah, I can't sing its praises high enough. It's definitely a contender for my Game of the Year.
Oh, it's almost that time.
Wow.
It's almost time that we start talking about Game of the Year.
Can you believe it?
It is. A bit of gaming news, I guess. Assassin's Creed Unity, however, won't be on many Game of the Year this year.
Yeah, this has been quite a big story.
Yeah, one I'm kind of glad I avoided now in hindsight.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it and how they put an embargo on the reviews, so no one could review it before it was available. Well, actually, half a day after it was released.
They were talking about this on Giant Bomb, which is a great podcast, those of you who haven't checked it out. And they were saying how these guys have been in the business. They used to write for GameSpot and stuff and have been there for like 15 years writing reviews and talking about video games and stuff. And they were just like, this has always been the case. Like, there's always been review embargoes. Like, even before the internet, like, the only reason you didn't think there were review embargoes is because there were magazines that were going to publish. Mm. Like, if a magazine came out before the review embargo, that review wasn't in that magazine, unless you were something like Electronic Gaming Monthly or Official Nintendo. Mm. Like, these review embargoes have always existed. They're not often a sign of this is a crappy game.
No.
They are a sign of, you know,
what
it's just
Ubisoft
the industry.
What said was they, it was to the online component, apparently, that they didn't want people to do it before it was going.
Basically. Well, yeah, which is fair enough for a game like Destiny or Titanfall, where you need online servers.
A single player experience.
Yes, it is.
Which is marred by some horrible glitches.
Horrible glitches.
To be frequent.
Yes, well, like, from what I understand, Black Flag had its fair share of glitches. Like, I would see, like, people spazzing out into walls and stuff and going up and down with that kind of...
very ambitious game.
It is a very ambitious game.
The amount of people, characters, models they've got on screen at one time is immense.
It's almost as if cracking out a game on a yearly basis isn't a good idea.
Especially when you're making two of them.
Who would have thought that? Yeah, fortunately, I haven't seen anything of Rogue. Can you give it a quick
no
Google to see?
No one's talking about Rogue.
It's because their focus is solely on the new gen. Actually, there was a statistic they were also talking about in Giant Bomb where 55% of the new releases are actually being bought on next-gen systems, even though people haven't moved over. So it says that people with new consoles are eager for content, but people with old ones aren't really buying anything. So it's just kind of being pushed to the side.
Toybox Turbos, which is only available on an older console. So I think there should be plenty of people there.
Yeah, but it's a downloadable title. Like, it's not a physical, you're not putting 50 quid down on you, like, for a game that you won't be able to play in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking at Rogue now. It's got overshadowed.
It has, unfortunately, because from what I saw at EGX, it seemed good. Like, I saw a few people playing it, and it seemed all right. It seemed like a solid Assassin's Creed game.
GameSpot, well, usually my go-to source for reviews, give it a 6.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
What is their wrap-up of it?
Their wrap-up?
That's very unfortunate.
Of it would be, what do they say? The good. Lots of juicy Abstergo and template info to uncover.
Okay.
The bad. Thin on core content, dull missions, it's basically glorified Black Flag download content pack, and Shay, I guess the character who plays, is a walking anti-hero cliche, and it gets a 6 from them, but I don't know.
Oh, that's a bit...
What's the average user rating? 7.6.
Because this is kind of what I've heard about Unity, that they took a lot of the content out, and it is essentially like Assassin's Creed. Like, yeah, they've gone back to having a big city like you did in Assassin's Creed 2, as compared to they're saying that Black Flag is kind of like the Assassin's Creed 1 of this console generation, even though it was on the old consoles. because there was lots of small towns and loads of islands and stuff. But yeah, from the sounds of things, he's gone tits up. But I keep seeing this image of the horrible glitch where the guy has no face and he's just a pair of eyes and lips and a wig.
Oh, for Unity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. I think he's so fun.
It does, yeah. He kind of looks like something out of Tim Burton's Mars Attacks to me.
Yeah, it does. I remember a game which also had really bad glitches, wasn't it? Fallout 3.
Yes.
No, Fallout New Vegas.
New Vegas
was notorious for its glitches at the time. But what do you think? Do you think it's right that a games company should release a game in that state?
Well, from what I understand, again, from Giant Bomb kind of talking to people, is that this happens a lot. Like, day one patches are there because they're essentially releasing a broken game on launch day. And this used to happen with Game Boy games. Like, I've got a few examples where if you look at the code, it'll say DMG, whatever the code is, and then the region code, so EUR, for example, for Europe. And then you might have a little dash with a 1, or a dash with a 2, or a dash with a 3.
Yeah.
It generally means that these games will ship with bugs because no program is 100% perfect, generally, unless it's a Nintendo game. And they have a level of polish where they go, okay, 5% of the people who play this game may encounter this glitch, which is a game-breaking glitch. We'll release in the next publishing run an update for this if these people complain. Yeah, because, I mean, you've already pressed the carts by the time you find these glitches, usually. So they're just kind of like, okay, this build is ready.
They're not going to scrap carts.
No, this build is ready to ship. Most people won't notice. Like, this will happen very, very rarely. You will have to do a certain thing in a certain sequence of events.
Yeah, I guess it was a lot tighter back then, considering that the problems which would occur if you had to update your game. Nowadays, it's easy for them to issue a patch. So perhaps studios are getting a little lazy.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like, games are always existent with glitches. I mean, like, if you look at Pokemon, that famous Missing Go glitch, like, I was reading an article, I believe it was on Kotaku, where they were explaining how that glitch works.
Yeah.
And it was mind-boggling that someone had figured that out, because it meant that when you talk to the old man for a brief second, unless you moved, because the old man went into battle to catch the Pidgey, you then suddenly had the... According to the game, you were suddenly the old man until you moved, in which you became yourself again.
Okay.
So you had a variable for the old man and not for Tom Parry or Matt Boyle as a Pokemon trainer. And so if you flew to the Safari Zone straight from there, then you wouldn't have moved out of the area, so you wouldn't have reverted back to your original self. And then while surfing up and down that area, there was a variable that matched the variable of the old man that said Pokemon number 157 would appear in that area, but Pokemon 157 didn't exist, and so Missing Go is the placeholder graphic for stuff that didn't exist, just to have something to fill that space. And depending on what you actually named your character determined the value of the old man, which is why you could have a Pokemon that either looked like the famous kind of L-shaped Missing Go, or if it looked like a Kabutops skeleton, or what it looked like, depended on how you'd named yourself.
My gosh.
Now, this is a crazy, crazy glitch. And, like,
you've remembered all that.
I just found it astounding that, like, someone had figured this out. Someone had, like, known about these variable strings long enough to go, like, hey, if I surf up and down this island, this will happen.
Yeah, that someone's got a lot of time on their hands.
That's insane when you think about it. Like, when I see old glitches in games of, like, item duplication after fighting a certain boss fight and dying and then restarting, I'm like, how the fuck does that happen?
You know, you expect there's going to maybe some glitches in a game, but this instance is noteworthy for the fact it's very obvious got glitches.
Yes, and this is the
thing. And that's like why couldn't that be fixed before shipping the game?
But I mean,
was it going to take such a long amount of time for them to fix this that they were so hurried that they had to get it out?
It doesn't bode well for the state of the video games industry, does it? I mean, like, if you look at things like, and admittedly, there have been a few games that are kind of come out, and Sony's patch has kind of broken a few games recently where they've had to have a huge update. Like, Destiny kept booting people from the servers on the PS4 because it didn't agree with the firmware update and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there are issues of cross-compatibility between people developing the software and the user interface and OS that the consoles are running themselves. However, you see things like this, and this is across the board. This is on every platform. These glitches are happening. So it is a problem with the game and not with the hardware.
Yes.
And that's very worrying, because I mean, like, Battlefield 4 was essentially unplayable at launch for a very long time in a lot of people's eyes.
It's concerning.
Unity isn't great. The sales of Call of Duty, while it seems like a very fun game, I watched one my girlfriend's flatmate play it the other day. It kind of seems like a mashup between Call of Duty and Titanfall, which is very interesting to see. Like, there's more levels to the playing field and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it could be quite dynamic combat. But it's not selling very well. Like, and with these flagship titles...
But
like,
at least it seems to be... is it bug-free? Probably not. But
probably
at least it's
not.
Been,
like, at least
better tested than perhaps
I guess it would have to be, though, right? Like, I mean, with a game like Call of Duty, like, after seeing the colossal clusterfuck that EA went through last year with their launch of Battlefield 4, like, can you really blame them for, like, being as tight as possible with Call of Duty? Because, like, the backlash against that game was huge, because Battlefield 3, if correct me if I'm wrong, it probably am, but outsold that Call of Duty game, whichever one that was. I think it was Modern Warfare 3. Battlefield 3 did really well against whatever Call of Duty game it was up against. It may have been Black Ops 1. So a lot of the player base shifted to that game. However, they went back after 4 because 4 was such a clusterfuck that Call of Duty won back usership, yes. And as such, I don't think they could afford to mess up a game launch like that.
I see. How about the theory that games are just getting more and more complicated now, and that the risk of glitches is higher because of what these developers are trying to achieve? And they're trying to achieve this in the same sort of time frame they'd have maybe to develop, you know, a less technically demanding game.
I think that's why a lot of people are switching to smaller studios. I mean, you have to look at the stats with, like, Mario games as well, to say that people want these simpler games, I think, a lot of the time. Well, yeah, you want to see something that's amazing, it's never been done before, that pushes the hardware limitations. Like, most people are content with playing Peggle and Angry Birds. Like, for a lot of people, it's just a casual experience. And the most ambitious Mario games, bar 64, which was bundled with the console, I mean Galaxy, I mean Sunshine, they're the lowest selling games of the Mario series. Like, despite how amazing these games, well, maybe not Sunshine, but as technically advanced and brilliant these games might have seen, they didn't sell anywhere near as well as, like, Mario World or even New Super Mario and New Super Mario for the Wii.
Well, Nintendo have seen this, haven't they? And they're tailoring their games for this audience. And it's a shame, because they seem reluctant to make... Well, these games are all very well and good. I mean, I really enjoy New Super Mario Brothers Wii U. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But I'd love to see another game in the vein of Galaxy, because playing Galaxy again made me realise I haven't played a 3D platformer like this for a long time.
Yeah.
My favourite 3D platformer of all time would be Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
And this, playing Galaxy, made me... Oh, it's like Banjo.
Yeah.
Of course, Banjo was like Mario 64.
Yeah.
But there are things in Galaxy, like the Bee Mario and stuff, which reminded me of Banjo-Kazooie. And I really miss these kind of games. And it's a shame that studios aren't making them anymore, because I hear they're unpopular.
They are.
And I always loved them, and I still do.
It's such a cutthroat industry now. Like, but I mean, like, if you really think about it, like, what were they saying? Like, 14 million PS4s? That could just be a way, way too high number. I'll say 8 or 9 million PS4s. That
you
seems more realistic.
Why not?
But, like, I mean, if you think of that, like, a game like Call of Duty is only selling, like, 12 million copies. Mm. And that's across all the systems.
Mm. Maybe this Call of Duty, I like Guitar Hero, has had its day.
Yeah, but, like, but I mean, like, Call of Duty at its peak was selling, like, 14 million. Mm. Like, that was the height of Call of Duty fever. Like, those millions count. And when you can just make a 2D Mario game that sells like 5-6 million copies guaranteed against something like Galaxy, which sells 2 million. Like, that's a fucking lot of money. Like, a game that sells a million is still a very good game, but it isn't the numbers that most people are chasing. Yeah. Like, Bayonetta 2 probably did very, very well, but, like, it's not going to be Call of Duty money. It's not going to be these insanely high things which are going for you know, silly amounts of money and having all of these resources behind them. Like, they need sure hits. Yeah. Like, if you're making a game of that technicality with that much investment into it, you need a surefire hit, which is why people are... And there was a Jim Kazition video on Escapist a couple of months ago. I don't know if you saw it, but he was essentially saying how every games developer he was talking to is very, very depressed at the moment of splitting off into small indie studios, because there are three games that every marketer and every CEO of every video game company is saying, we need to make a game like Clash of Clans, Candy Crush, or Call of Duty. Those are the three options. Military first-person shooter or free-to-play puzzle game.
Oh, gosh.
Because they're making so much money and they have such a large user base that people are like, fuck, that's where the money is. That's where everyone's going. And I think it's just time that everyone slows down. Like, you know, like things like Assassin's Creed, them releasing a game a year is because they want to keep the name relevant and they want to put Assassin's Creed games out because everyone loves Assassin's Creed and everyone must continue to love Assassin's Creed. But it just makes games sterile. Like, look at the Call of Duty money and it's going down. Like, people are getting bored of generic first-person shooters. Like, you get fatigued.
Yeah. I quite like Nintendo's strategy at the moment of there seems to be a real focus on the eShop.
Yes.
With games like Shovel Knight being released the other week and the new one, Tengami, I can't forget what it's called.
Yes,
it's,
the game that was originally on iPads by X-Rare developers.
Yeah. I mean, there's been others as well.
There has.
I was disappointed that Toybox Turbos wasn't on the Wii U. But
if it had the user base, I'm sure it would have been.
Going back just briefly to Rogue here, I did look up some more scores for it, and GameSpot's was among the lower range. It gets an average score on Metacritic of 78 for the Xbox 360 version and 74 for the
PS3.
Some people rated it as high as 8.5.
Okay,
eight,
so it's
nine,
pretty much then it's
seven.
Just an Assassin's Creed game, though, but like... Yeah. At least GameStop are being quite honest there and saying this is an Assassin's Creed game. Like, if you like Assassin's Creed, you're going to like this, but there's nothing new for you.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, anyways, we've rambled on without actually talking about what we've been buying and what we've been playing.
Well, let's talk about something which is a real success in my eyes, is the add-on content for Mario Kart, which was released this last week.
Yes.
You get two cups, you get that encompasses about... with eight new tracks.
Yeah.
And the eight new tracks are really the meat and potatoes of this release. Because they're good.
Yes.
You know, I would have heard a bit more going upside down, you know, especially on the F-Zero track. You know, expect that to be quite extreme. It's very good as it is. It makes you think, oh, I'd be lovely to see an F-Zero game on the Wii U.
Yeah.
But overall, it's nice. And yeah, it breathes a bit of life into a game, which in my eyes maybe didn't need it.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to
extra stuff for
it. Yeah, I mean, the races, you get Link, you get Tanuki Mario, and you get Cat Peach.
I do think they are a bit of a cop-out, because they're obviously just the same character model, but then wearing a different suit.
All kind of squished into his little car. And Link has become a fan favourite online.
Yeah, but it's so weird. Like,
it's really weird to see, still. I'm not sure if I'm totally comfortable with it, but...
A lot of people aren't.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, why should I care? I don't know, but it's... I feel like, oh, maybe that should have been best left something like Nintendo All-Star Racing or something like that.
Oh,
Mario Kart's Mario Kart. It's in the Mario universe.
Yeah.
But then again, I say to myself, what does it matter, really? It's all fun.
Exactly.
Nintendo would have to have released another game then, and it would be pointless. Why not just put it on top of Mario Kart and work from there? Because everyone knows Mario Kart. It's an established
franchise,
and it's a fun bit of fan service, I'd say.
It works.
Yeah, it's really good and quite, you know, affordable as well. I think the add-on content's certainly worth its asking price.
Yeah, I hear that when you race as Link, you see rupees instead of coins.
When you race on a particular track, there's rupees instead of coins.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. It's also on the F-Zero track, the coins, you collect the coins by going through the energy.
Yeah.
You know, the pink energy which heals your ship. That's how you get coins on that track.
Oh, that's clever.
It's a lot of fun. I spoke to our good friend Austin. He says it'd be nice to see Captain Falcon in there.
Well, like, you can play as him with the Amiibo, can't you?
You can wear a costume.
I think
you've got the the Blue Falcon car.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you put Falcon in there, then you're kind of opening it up to everyone, and you at least...
We've got Animal Crossing characters coming, and they've got Link.
Animal Crossing characters are kind of stylistically close to Mario characters, I would say. Link is just there because they were like, oh, shit, we better put Link in.
Yeah, that's right. So, Falcon probably won't be there, but maybe we'll hold out for an F-Zero game at some point.
Captain Mario would have been good. Mario in a Falcon costume.
Yeah, that would have been a bit more unique than Tanuki Mario.
But yeah.
I've actually, for some reason, been playing as Cat Peach a lot. I don't know why. I think it handles quite well. A car does and looks right in a car. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm all right with it. Excited Bike Track's interesting as well.
That, isn't it 2D?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're in the trailer, it appears 2D.
Yeah, I was just like, how the hell does that work? That just seems so weird.
Unless there's some kind of hidden Easter egg which you can turn it 2D, but...
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a bit of retro. It's nostalgia.
Yes.
So very happy that I'm playing more Mario Kart because of this new content.
So. Yeah, that's good.
I'm into the racing games this week. What can I say? Racing games and Mario games. Galaxy, Toy Box Turbos, Mario Kart... but I've downloaded one game, which I haven't played yet, which is Binding of Isaac.
Yes.
Which is, I've downloaded for the Vita. I was a bit, disappointed at first. I thought it wasn't going to be downloadable in any format that I owned.
Yes.
It's at the moment, it's only PS4 and Vita.
Yes.
I thought it was only PS4, so finding out with Vita was...
Very happy to hear that it was on PS4 because it's a game I've wanted to play for a long time because
Me
it
too.
Is by Team Meat.
Yes.
And I very much
Super
enjoyed
Meat Boy
Super Meat Boy. It's a roguelike kind of inspired by Zelda.
It looks like
which
Zelda.
Sounds amazing to me. So,
but pretty messed up.
But yeah, definitely very messed up. It's Team Meat. Like if you are aware of Super Meat Boy, you kind of get their sense of artistic style and craziness that they bring with their games.
So looking forward to playing that. The only other thing I played this week was a demo of Sonic Boom.
And how did you find that?
Because this is on the 3DS.
Reviews be giving that game on Wii U at least a very hard time.
From what I played of the 3DS version, fun. I liked how they'd introduced new play mechanics into Sonic, which added to the variety. The swapping between the four characters is fun.
Yeah.
I was disappointed Knuckles didn't have a glide attack, but...
Yeah. Nah. What can you do, Tom? You can't have it all.
You can't have it all. What is there was very playable and enjoyable, and it mixed things up just enough for it not to feel like another Sonic game.
Yes.
But it was 2D, which was good, so you can't really mess 2D up that
badly.
No,
that's true, you can't.
Maybe that's where the Wii U version has faltered. I've not played it. I've heard little about... the game. It's not been released in Europe yet. We're not getting it to the 21st.
From what I understand, it's kind of a slowed down, bigger 3D world, kind of like a Ratchet and Clank game.
Yeah.
However, I hear it's terribly, terribly glitchy. And
not the glitches
a lot of
again.
The mechanics don't work as they should,
essentially.
But that apparently comes down to the game being very rushed and that it wasn't really ready and it was a bit too ambitious for the time frame they had, and so they rushed it to market.
Shame. Why make it that ambitious? Well, ambition's a good thing.
Yes, it is. But you know, hitting your deadlines is also something to be said for that, too.
Yeah, there's one thing I didn't like about the 3DS game was, now, just like Lost World, Sonic's got a run button.
Yeah.
So if you don't hold down the button while moving, you're slow.
You just walk. Oh, God, that would do my head in.
And as we've said in previous podcasts, Sonic don't walk.
Sonic don't walk, Tom. Sonic don't walk part 2 is officially the name of this podcast.
I don't like this trend. A run button in Sonic games. Sonic should, as you move, he should speed up and you go, it's fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the Sonic Advance games, they were good.
They were.
So I might be willing to give the 3DS version a go, but there's other games that I'd rather play at the minute. I've got a backlog of stuff.
Yes,
within
that's understandable.
Bayonetta 1, I haven't even touched on Bayonetta 2 yet.
Yeah, I need to play that again, so at least one of us has a bit of background on it for our Game of the Year podcast.
Of course. That is everything I have played.
It's everything you've played.
This week.
I will be honest, I haven't really played a lot. I went to a flea market yesterday, the big one that started off my Game Boy obsession about 7 months ago or whenever it was. There's two of these things a year. I assume it's probably 6 months, but it feels longer than that. I think it was in March.
Yeah.
And at this place, I kind of realised after walking around this huge flea market, and it is a huge thing. It's an indoor event that takes place, like I said, every couple of months. And there's just five or six like sports halls full of people selling stuff. And I realised after walking around the first hall, they're pretty much the same traders, time in and time out. So I ran to the last hall where I found the guy selling some very rare Game Boy games last time, and lo and behold, he was there. Unfortunately, his collection of Game Boy games is a lot smaller this time and been very, very picked through since last time. There was no shining beacons of Felix the Cat and stuff as there was previously. However, I did get a load of like common games that I was missing. I got games like Double Dragon 2. I got
Double Dragon 2?
Yes. Oh. I got Disney's Mulan. I got a few other bits and bobs. Nothing really of note, if I'm being totally honest.
So Mulan wasn't a Game Boy Color game?
No, it was not. It was a Game Boy game. I got Blues Brothers. I got PGA Tour, because that was there. I got like Jack Nicklaus Golf off another stand. All in all, I came away with about 12 Game Boy games. I picked up a duplicate of Dig Dug because the guy was selling them three in a bundle for 100, and then I managed to whittle him down because I bought a black DMG. So I now only have one colour Game Boy left to get, and that's the yellow one. And yeah, I saw a few other little bits and bobs. There was a guy with a literally like a stand, I don't know, about 5-6 meters in length. And really? In front of the stall and on the stall were just boxes and boxes of PS2. And then towards the end, Wii and Xbox 360 games. The Wii and Xbox 360 games are individually priced. I believe he also has some PS3 stuff. But the PS2 games were like 35 kroner each, so about just under £4, or 5 for 100. And I was like, okay, cool, there's got to be some stuff here. And I looked, and there were some PS1 games on the stall. I was like, well, there's nothing really of note. You know, it was like your Nuclear Strikes and like Tenchu Stealth Assassin, which is a good game.
Eternal Ring?
No, Eternal Ring was probably in the PS2 games.
Oh yeah,
I was there and I had a potch around, and the first thing that really struck my eye and why I stopped at the store was there was a promo copy of Project Zero 3, which is in itself quite a pricey game for the PS2. Mm. One I admittedly do have, but I was like, oh, I've never seen a promo copy of that. Mm. I couldn't find one on eBay, so I have no idea of the value of it, but a copy of the boxed game of Project Zero is going for about £40 now.
But is our promo game necessarily as sought after as proper box games?
There are
games?
People that collect them. I'm not sure if they go for as much, because unfortunately they do not have the nice
that's the thing,
manual and box, but they are still the game, and they still are in a limited press compared to the actual physical release. Mm. So I don't know. Games like that, maybe. Things like Ratchet and Clank, probably not so much. But I saw that, and then there were a pile of PS1 games that had no box and manual, unfortunately. But in there I found B-Movie and the original Klonoa for the PS1, which, quite pricey games, and I wasn't going to pass them up for that. And then I got two games by Phoenix Games for us to do a video on, one called Girl Zone, and one like Street Racer 3 or something it was called.
You gotta love a good Phoenix game. Hey, they've got Klonoa promo ones on eBay. One's at £6.50 at the minute, 3 days left.
Yeah.
Could go up, obviously. Someone else is selling one at a buy it now price of £39.97.
That's what I'm saying, like, so, you know.
£35.99.
£2 for that. Like, I'm not complaining. It's a full copy of the game. I get to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
37. Yeah, average seems to be averaging out at about nearly £40.
Yeah. And, you know, like, that one hasn't even got the slip thing. It hasn't got the little bit in front of the case like Project Zero.
But neither
has,
do these.
Complete. Really?
No.
It's just the disc.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very interesting.
Disc in a clear case.
Maybe it just came like that then. Maybe that's why.
Possibly.
Oh, possibly. Interesting. I didn't realise. But yeah, I potted around a little bit more. Sorry. eBay madness, guys. I'm bidding on a copy of Snow Brothers with 35 seconds left.
On eBay. Do you want me to take over while you do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. eBay. Okay. I did actually purchase something on eBay this week, and that was Thunder in Paradise for the CDI.
Really?
I got that for the grand total of, I think, £12, including postage. I'm quite happy with that. I'd like to get the Peacekeeper Revolver for the CDI as well. I've got my eye on one at the minute, but it's 30 quid. With a copy of Mad Dog, but then Mad Dog's worth next to nothing. So
yeah.
I may have to look at my finances and decide.
Yay!
It's worthwhile. How much for?
I paid €20 for it.
Snow Brothers.
Yes.
Mm.
A very rare Game Boy game. It came with a manual, which is why I was willing to pay a little bit more for it.
What's that on eBay?
Yes. But however, Thomas, I'm willing to pay this much for it because I am officially now at...
It's a Capcom game.
The halfway mark.
Officially?
Officially.
Oh, wow.
My purchase of Snow Brothers.
Wow, that's a momentous occasion. I'll give you a small round of applause.
Thank you very much. That means I have collected a grand total of 233 Game Boy games.
In what space of time a year?
About a year, I'd say.
Yeah. Wow. Give it another year and you'll have them all.
No, I don't think so. I think this is where the uphill battle starts.
Really?
I think this is where...
Well, you have some of the rarer ones.
I do, but it's then drumming out the very obscure... Like, perhaps they're not worth so much money, such as Darkman, which is a Spanish-only title. Mm. It also came out in the States, but it's quite rare.
Mm.
Lethal Weapon. There's a few German-only games, which I very rarely see. They don't sell for much when they do come up, but they are a bit of a pain in the ass to buy.
You'll be all right. I'm sure you'll get there. You've done well so far.
Yeah. Well, like, if I add everything up, like, if I include the... American games I have, then I'm also at halfway there because there's only about 100, I think, or so American-only games, and I'm kind of... actually, I don't know if I'm at the halfway point with the American games. I don't think I've got that many, actually. Mm. Now I'm really thinking about it. But a lot of those titles are sports titles, which, again, cost nothing, and I'm not really in any rush to pick up once I've completed the European bit. So,
okay,
we'll see. Hopefully, I can get a load of stuff. I'm going to... issue a lot of trades when I get back to the UK. I've already got a few people waiting to trade when I go home in December. So,
okay. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Do we have time to discuss new releases?
We do, but I just want to tell of the one insane thing I found at the flea market that I didn't pick up. Mega Drive on its own, two pads, four box games, including Jack Nicklaus Golf, Lion King, Sonic 2, and some NBA or NFL title, I can't remember, generic sports crappy game. 1,000 kroner. Yes, folks, that's about £110 for a Mega Drive. It didn't look like it worked and had four shit games. This is
Lion King's all right.
Actually, yes,
Sonic
I take
2.
It back.
You said Sonic 2 as well.
Yes. Sorry, I apologize. Shit games isn't the
system, maybe.
Isn't the right word, perhaps. Very common... cheap games with two shit games because I played Jack Nicklaus Golf on the Game Boy and I attest to its crapness.
Fair enough. Now, Matt, you said to me earlier on in the week that there wasn't much to be released now after the end of November.
No, we are reaching the pinnacle point.
There are some before the end of November. We'll get the likes. We already got Lego Batman 3 that came out this last week.
Yes.
Quite a big release. I'm not sure how well it's been received, but, you know, it's a Lego game, so it's going to be of a certain quality.
I saw it on the shelf the other day. I did want to pick it up, but then I was like, maybe I
should
wait.
You haven't played Marvel yet?
I haven't played Marvel. And I do kind of want to get the limited edition with Plastic Man because I like Plastic Man. And so, you know, with us being suckers for minifigures, we are, I'm kind of holding out to get that.
18th of November brings us Grand Theft Auto 5 and Xbox One and PS4 with its new first-person mode.
You
can play the entire game first-person.
I've heard about this. That sounds insane.
Yeah,
the textures can be updated that much that you can play it in first person.
That's really interesting.
Sounds
like
brilliant.
Try that. Dragon Age 3 Inquisition is released on 21st of November.
Yeah.
Far Cry 4, same day. You'll get Shadow of Mordor on 360 and PS3 after that. Sonic Boom on the Wii U 3DS. And I've heard some bad reviews of this. WWE 2K15. It's not... been received well.
I hear that it was actually delayed for the next gen consoles because it wasn't, it's something with the firmware, I think, or something
maybe
screwed it up. But apparently the last gen versions of it aren't very good either.
Well, there you go. If you're building upon a not very good game, then that's what you get. Little Big Planet 3 will be released on PlayStation 3 and PS4 on 26th of November.
You gonna pick that up?
No, I'm intrigued, but
kind of
I'm quite happy
that
with Little Big Planet 2, you know.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to buy another one. But I do like what the studio have done. And it's Sumo Digital who have made this.
Yes.
Of Outrun 2 fame.
Ooh.
And Sonic Racing Transformed. And they've proven their worth as a very capable studio. Racing games,
oh,
at least.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm kind of more interested in this now. I thought he was just a first-time developer kind of thing.
No, no. They know their stuff. And I saw him a video online. And then they've really done some good stuff with this one. So
yeah.
And, of course, the end of the month, you've got the last big release in November is Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Mega Ruby.
Yes.
Now, we haven't talked about December yet.
We have not. Will you be picking up
and there's not
Sapphire
much...
or Ruby? Radiant Ruby or Shining Sapphire?
I don't know.
No, I'm not going to
get
Maybe
not straight either. Away. Well, actually, there's no releases listed here, apart from the 1st of December, which is Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed.
For
on
what?
Android, iPad, and iPhone.
Oh, great. Okay. Smash Brothers is on the 28th of November.
Yeah,
it
they
isn't listed
got it on
there
Eurogamer,
for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but it is out.
Thanks for pointing that one out.
It's okay.
Oh, and of course, you get, before the end of the month, Escape Dead Island.
There's a new Dead Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the
Adventure Time game on 360, PS3, and 3DS.
I heard good things about that.
The
I
Adventure
wanted to
Time
say.
Game.
What is the game? Like, it's.
I don't know.
Because they do something different with every Adventure Time game.
Mm.
And while the last one, raid the dungeon because I don't know why or whatever it was called, whatever zany Adventure Time title it had, was very... it was Diablo-esque, but yeah. It had no soul.
Okay. Let's see what this new Adventure Time game looks like. I don't know. I can't find it.
Okay. Well, we'll look it up for next week. Yeah. It's okay. This podcast is going on a little bit. Right, okay. Well, that wraps up the end of this podcast.
Oh, no.
What, Thomas? What?
I don't know.
You don't know? You just you don't want it to end?
I'm scared I don't want it to end. I was quite enjoying that.
Okay.
Because it has to end.
It does. Unfortunately, sometimes the best things have to end.
Has Binding of Isaac downloaded yet?
Binding, isn't it?
Blinding.
Is it
binding?
I thought it was binding.
Oops.
Maybe it is blinding. I don't know.
I think it's binding. Do we find out?
We should.
Before the end of the podcast, we're going to give you this bombshell.
Oh, this game has been up for 3 years.
Maybe you could tell if I could see where it downloaded to.
Oh, fucking hell.
Binding.
I thought it was Binding. That really hurt my hands.
Binding
okay.
of Isaac. And it paused again.
Right. That is the end of this wonderful podcast. Oh, now I've broken my fingers.
That's been fun. Your own fault.
Yeah, with the terrible rhythm. It wasn't even a constant rhythm. I'm very disappointed
with
that.
If you could see us now, we're both wearing similar jumpers.
We are. We've both become the same person. And if you've enjoyed this podcast where Tom confessed his love for me, let's not forget
yeah,
that
love
bit.
Affair with Matthew, yeah.
Then please subscribe. Please tell other people about it because we've been a little lacking on our own promotional front as of late, I must admit. My handling of the tweeters haven't been that much. Yeah, you can add Tom at TomParry11.
I've done something on Twitter. I tweeted.
You did. You tweeted in a response to a podcast listener.
And if
good
you tweet
for
at
you.
Me, I'll probably tweet back.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee it.
TomParry11. You can usually find me these days at GameBoyle, which is also a YouTube channel I do. I'm not going to rabbit on about it because I do it every week. But we are also available on Twitter at TMAcast. If you haven't got the twit, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. And if you haven't got that, you can go to iTunes where you can listen to this podcast and Stitcher as well, or TomAndMattAttack.com or BlastProcess.com if you're feeling saucy. Until next time, guys, good night from me, good night from him.
Game on.
Game on.